You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Wayne Stanley. Wayne leads a thriving marketing agency, empowering small businesses nationwide. He recognized that for explanatory leadership, he fosters dynamic workplace culture. And that's important. You got to have the culture that everybody jives with, everybody wants to be a part of. And he does a great job developing that workplace culture. His expertise extends to real estate through title success, showcasing his dedication to strategic marketing solutions with a background in the U.S. Senate. Wayne continues to shape industries with innovation and passion. So it's an honor to have him on here. So with no further ado, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here today.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about your journey now, having the marketing agency. How did it all begin? You know, tell us about your big why that led you this path.
Sure. I had always heard, you know, that you should build your network. And I think everybody hears that, but you're not really sure what that means, especially when I was younger, when I was still in college. I didn't know, but I graduated college around the time of the Great Recession. And so no one had jobs to give. And it was a really important time to figure out what I wanted to do. And I happened to be doing an internship in Washington, D.C. at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had a really great mentor that taught me about what that means to build a network and that sort of thing. And through a variety of different conversations and in trying to build that, I was able to land a job at the American Land Title Association in Washington, D.C. And through that experience, I was able to meet with hundreds of small businesses all over the country that needed marketing help. And I always knew that I wanted to be a marketer when I was, and a business owner. When I was a kid, I would be at my grandparents' house, whom Bow Digital is named after. We can talk more about that if you want, but I would be at their house and I would set up a store on their couch every time I was there. And I would go around the house and put all of their belongings in my store. And then I would charge them for their own things in their home. And they indulged me in this. And so I knew I wanted to be a small business owner from a very early age. And hearing this, these challenges that some of these small businesses were facing, it's just marketing is something that I was good at. It was the role that I'd had. It was what I went to college for. And finally, after a lot of soul searching, I decided this is really what I want to do. I want to own my own shop and go after it. And so I told the association that was my plan, and I was very blessed that they said, "That's wonderful. Can we be your first customer?" Oh, wow. And from there, the dream was born, and we've grown into what we are today.
Yeah, it's amazing when you're in that alignment, right? When you know from early on what is it that you want to do and just kind of stay in that zone and focusing on it. And I love that your grandparents entertain your business idea or your knack for it very, very early on. Sometimes it's good to have that support. And I don't want to talk about, you know, the power of networking, but also having that original support from those that, like your grandparents did for you, know what that meant for you. So let's dive into that a little bit.
Sure. It was really important to me to make my family proud and whatever I was going to do, obviously, which I think a lot of people focus on still. But I wanted to do work that was honest and meaningful and really helped people. And yes, we're making money at this. I don't think any of us start a business without part of that being some of the equation, but getting to see success happen as we introduce marketing ideas is something that has been really exciting for me to see these businesses grow and thrive. And it usually affects their personal relationships and everything else. And so learning that from a young age, that importance, you know, our tagline at Bow Digital is to work hard, play hard, and respect everyone. That was something that I got from my grandpa, Bow. He was a baseball coach for many, many years in our community. And the work hard, play hard thing was something that he often said. And the respect everyone was not something that he said, but something that he showed. And that's a big piece for us of especially in this day and age. We may have customers that come to us with varying beliefs or thoughts and things. And regardless of people's past experiences or their current perception, respect is still deserved. And so we try to bring that to everything we do while also working really hard and enjoying the basking in the glow of the good times, because that's not always the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking about that a little bit offline. And I can see that being embedded in the culture and the mission of Bo Digital, because you guys won Best Place to Work in India this year, actually.
Yes, we won Best Places to Work, which is wonderful and something that, you know, I didn't, when I put together my vision board for the company at the very beginning, I didn't think those types of accolades would be something that we would get in the near future. But our team has really bought into our culture, and it hasn't been easy. You know, being a fully remote team since 2017 has been a challenge. The pandemic caught the rest of the world up to us, so it's not a weird thing anymore for people that we are fully remote, but it's been a great journey to learn how to build that culture, and being recognized by the state chamber has been a really wonderful thing for 2 years in a row now.
Yeah. And so you're, let's talk about Bo Digital. Let's talk about how I know your granddad, his name's Bo. That's how the name came about. Let's talk about how the name background, and also what is it that you guys do that makes you stand out?
Sure, of course. Yes, it's named after my grandparents, Glenn Vernon Bo and Shirley Bo. When I was thinking about the name, I always wanted to bring it back to Indiana in some way. I still worked in Washington, D.C. when I was developing the idea for the company, and I wanted to connect back to my roots. And for a long time, it was going to be called Sycamore Strategies, because the sycamore tree is a really big icon in Indiana. But one night I weirdly had a dream, and I kept thinking about my grandpa, and finally it made sense to name it after him. He was known by Bo. He never went by Glenn Vernon. He was known as Bo to everyone he knew. And he was the last Bo, one of the last Bos in our family as a male. And so it was a good way for me to honor him and keep that name going for us. And naming it that has allowed us to have a lot of fun with puns. You know, we say often that your marketing deserves a pro, so you should put a bow on it. We can do a lot with, you know, packaging up things nice and neat for people. But in general, I would say that we are a marketing agency that can help small businesses of any shape and size and of any budget. We have folks on our team who have backgrounds as reporters and researchers and teachers. And so learning is embedded in what we do. So it doesn't matter the industry. It could be the most exciting of industries or the most boring of businesses. And we think that we can help find a way to serve them. And we do that through traditional marketing avenues with things like logo design, print design, billboards, flyers, handouts, all of that, all the way into the strategy space where we do a lot of marketing plans and consultation with folks. We do a lot of in-person trainings and virtual trainings, speaking engagements, everything in that regard. And then on the digital side of marketing, it runs the gamut from building and creating websites to engaging social media content, paid digital advertising, video, email, all of that kind of stuff. The only thing we really don't do, we're not an app developer. We don't do that, but we can probably handle anything else.
Yeah. So SEO is all imbued in that with the planning. So it's a one shop off for it all, whatever you need marketing
wise. Yeah, we try to be.
How big is your team?
We have 21 full-time staff now, and then we have a couple of contractors that work with us and a great team of interns.
Yeah. I'm curious to learn how you manage such a productive and creative culture, especially being remote, because people, as you say, are jumping on the wagon now since COVID to go remote. They're joining you guys, but they're also toying around with this hybrid because they don't quite know how to fully jump the gun yet. So enlighten us a bit.
Yeah, for me, the success to a remote work culture lies in communication and setting expectations, like most things in life. I think that's probably foundationally important, but we put a premium on the way that we communicate and teaching our team how we want them to communicate internally, but also with our partners, which is what we call our customers. So that piece is really important. There's also, I tell business owners all the time, the ones that are toying with a fully remote versus hybrid. For a lot of them, that decision revolves around trust and the trust that they're going to have in their team, the trust that their team has in them, the ability to get work done. There's always a lot of conversation about accountability in a remote work environment and that sort of thing. And for me, I tell our team all the time, you know, there's no chance that if you don't do your work, somebody won't notice that. And so that would be the case whether you were in an office together or not, you know. And for us, starting remote is very different. So we hired for remote positions. We were very clear about what does remote work mean. When we're in an interview with someone and they say, well, I'm looking for a fully remote position because I want to be able to do laundry during the day. I want to be able to save money on my vehicle. I don't want to have to pay for daycare anymore. I love to stream shows while I'm working. Those are all actual answers I've heard in an interview about why they want a fully remote job. And we say very clearly, we focus on the work of remote work. We say you can work anywhere. As long as you have a laptop and internet, you can work anywhere. But that means we actually want you to work. It's not the memes that you see and an SNL skit of basketball shorts and a suit jacket or spending 1 hour at a coffee shop and that's your whole day. We give you 40 hours worth of work to do. If you want to do it on the moon or on a yacht or wherever, that's totally fine, but we expect the work part. So I think as long as you're setting those expectations and communicating, it's going to go a long way. But the last thing I'll add to this is the human connection doesn't go away. That's still super important. So even though we're a fully remote company, every other month we meet in person for a full day together. And we, you know, our folks that don't live in the same state, we fly them in or they drive in, but we meet for a full day. The breakfast and lunch is unscheduled. It is just time to be together to talk about babies and houses and families and neighbors and, you know, whatever, all the normal things that we would get to do in a traditional office. That's when we schedule time for training or upskilling and things like that. But it is a solid 6 or 7 hours together to just be one as humans and connect in that way. And I think that's what's also led to the culture we have, because if you talk to anybody on my team, you would have no idea that they don't see each other physically every day because they have that much passion and energy toward each other about what they do. But it's intentional on our part. We help them connect. You know, we don't ever want anyone to feel siloed. So after our team meetings every Monday, people are randomly paired up to do a 15-minute check-in with someone else on the team. And they talk about personal stuff, you know, what's going on with the game last night, the World Series, again, babies, the hike they did, you know, whatever we saw on their Instagram story last evening, all of that kind of stuff. Just giving them the opportunity to connect about things that aren't work-related is super important. So I'd say those two avenues of communication and trust with the human connection is where you're going to see the most success there.
That is pivotal. That's crucial. How do you foster that as a leader? What kind of leader you have to be to actually build that trust so that you can randomly put two people together that, you know, don't work in the same space and they will open up? You know, it sounds like it's effective.
It is effective, and you have to lead by example. So you have to be open yourself. I think that, you know, the missteps that I've had, I try to be very transparent about that. And like I said, it's really about setting expectations and explaining the why of some things. And some managers, especially and owners, get really annoyed by that part, or they turn into the parent of, because I said so. We heard a phrase that we joke a lot about from one of our customers one time, and their response for the why was, because I signed the front of the check. And I think that's a funny saying or statement, but that is definitely not me as a leader. The reason why, it can only help them understand it and internalize it if I give them that. And so that's been a big piece of them connecting, but also trying to give them tools on how are we connected? And when we say that we hire for the person and not the position, what does that really mean? And are we putting our money where our mouth is? Do we invest in that training then, if that's the case? If we've got the right person, but they don't know or have the previous skills for that role, are we going to make that happen for them? So I think showing up has been a big part of creating that and letting them feel safe. And we've seen, I use the word safe a lot, but it's because we've seen a lot of past work trauma from people. And so they bring that to to us. And they'll, you know, a lot of our folks will say, well, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I'm like, why? What's led you to believe there's going to be another shoe? And they'll share things from previous jobs. And I'll say, well, you're going to keep waiting because that's just not how we do things. And that comes a lot too. So giving them that space, I heard the phrase a long time ago that it takes 6 months to know what the job is and 12 months to really be good at it. And I tell that to our team all the time. Like, it's really going to take you 6 months to understand your role within this whole organization. And then in about 12 months, you're going to really feel like all the wheels are greased and you're running at 100 miles an hour and going strong. So all of that combined, I think, is what leads to them feeling like they can perform in that way.
Yeah, no, I love that. Lead by example, show up. We are all about showing up here at Best Morning Routine. I know that you have humor. I know you have humor in what you do, your team. And recently, you know, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are all out there. There's so much publicity around them. And every time I see them, I'm like, I cannot wait to sit with Wayne and find out why is dating good for their relationship, for their brand, and for who they are. So please tell us.
Anything that can drive a conversation is good for your marketing and for your brand. And there is no bigger conversation seemingly happening right now. You know, I have said all summer, I'm not necessarily a Swiftie, but I am fascinated by all of these articles on even the economic impact of her tour this summer. Yeah. And when you compare that now to dating, you know, one of the best players in the NFL and what that has meant for both of them in terms of new audience. I mean, the games that she has attended for the NFL, they are showing real huge upticks in audience numbers. And overall, the audience for the NFL has been growing at a fairly steady pace for the last several years. So having one attendee at a game completely changing the target demographics, that affects hundreds of millions of dollars in ad revenue by what she is attending seemingly randomly. So their whole brand, you know, we did a blog post on this on our team, and the whole thing for them is really smart overall. You know, there are lots of people that want to have the conversation of, is this a PR ploy? Is it real? All of that. It doesn't really matter, because if it's working for them personally, that's great. If it's working for them professionally or business-wise, that's really great too. So it'll be interesting to see how this continues. You know, we're already seeing it with some of the merch that people are trying to do with this. People are very passionate on both sides of this. There's a whole section of TikTok of husbands that get upset with their wives joking that this is finally how Travis Kelce will be, you know, to that next level. And they're like, he is at that level. So I think the fact that it's creating a conversation is really great. And I think that because overall, both of them have fairly polished reputations, I think helps as well. That may not be the case if it was a different set of celebrities, but creating that conversation is good. And they both know what they're doing on social media. If you listen to his podcast, the type of stuff that they talk about that's super sticky for TikTok and Instagram is really smart. And now, because of this situation, their subscribers have gone up. They want to know, well, what's he talking about? Is he going to talk about his relationship? Is he going to tell us what backstage looks like at her tour? You know, all that kind of stuff. So in general, I think it's great for both of their brands. I think that if they ever were to call it off, you know, if this isn't a fairy tale ending, it'll be interesting how they both try to manage that, because it's definitely blown up in such a big way that would be hard, but hopefully that doesn't happen, right?
And how can we apply that in business in terms of partnerships, right? Looking at great reputable companies who can come together, collaborate, partners in that way, and be intentional with their partnership. How can that actually enhance a brand's image?
Yeah, partnerships can be fantastic. And I think you said the right word. It really has to be a reputable company. You know, I wouldn't take partnerships aren't necessarily a time to take risks in terms of people's reputation. I think that it's okay to take risks. It doesn't have to be a company with a ton of longevity or something like that. But if they've got customer buy-in and you've done your homework, I think that the best part about partnerships, and using the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce analogy, is that a lot of people didn't really see it coming. For a lot of people, they feel like it's two different worlds. And so sometimes if you're able to bridge that gap in a partnership. You know, it could be two different community organizations that don't normally overlap, but when they come together for one of their fundraisers or for spotlighting an issue in the community, that can be really powerful. And it can be the same for businesses as well, but you have to think a little more generally. You know, yes, if you're in the real estate space, they would expect a realtor to maybe partner with a bank, you know, if you're that kind of thing. But to be more creative about what those partnerships are, you're likely going to get a bigger conversation and have more of that Travis Swift. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce effect.
Well said. Thank you for sharing that, because I do think it's nice. There's a lot of talk around influencers and getting influencers to use your product, to get your marketing, to enhance all that. And it does resonate, that whole collaboration and the branding and how it can affect sales and growth altogether.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's talk about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
My morning routine is early. I'm definitely an early riser. I like to get up early. I set my alarm around 6 each day, which I know there's plenty that get up way earlier than that. But for a team of largely 20-somethings that just shudder at the fact of getting up before 8:30 or something just gives them hives. I love it. It's what I did for years. So I wake up early and I typically walk my dog. I have a Bernese Mountain dog named Samson, and we go on a walk together to start the day. Burns out his energy. It kickstarts mine. So I really appreciate that. And then I'm a big inspirational quote or thought person. And so based on what I perceive to be my challenges and my opportunity for the day, I try to look at something that might inspire me. So I look at quotes from different leaders from around the world, because it's unlikely that anything I'm going to encounter in a day is something that someone else hasn't previously, right? Like that's the perspective I've tried to have this year. You know, we're trying to market and capture people's attention in a world where they've basically acknowledged that other life may exist, right? And people kind of shrugged at that. And so I'm like, if that's what I'm competing with, then I have to like stay level-headed in what I'm doing. And so I try to use their experiences to inspire me. And then once I kind of figure out that quote for the day, I send a message to my team each morning, setting expectations for them. So that's a huge part of my morning that started during the pandemic. I did 2 videos a day, every day during the pandemic. Now I just do a morning video to everyone, but I give them updates on our customers. I give them other important company updates, and I give them some things I've been thinking about, training ideas, blogs they should read, TikToks to watch, that kind of stuff. Send that out to them. And then after that, that's when I usually have my time for learning, because mornings are best for me. And I have to continue learning if I want to be an inspiring leader to this group. And so that's when I'll sign up for classes that I can take, like masterclass, things like that online. That's when I will go through the different blogs that I follow, listen to the podcast. I'll try to spend an hour or so on that every day, because, you know, in my line of work with the marketing side of stuff, it's really important and it changes every minute. So I have to know, you know, as they say, what the kids are up to, so that I can start when it's more mainstream in a year or two. But that's in general how my morning goes. Could probably be better, but it's suited me really well for right now.
Nice. And that speaks into your culture either. I mean, as well, right? So getting those videos out to the team, informing them, getting buy-in daily, you know? It's pretty beautiful to be able to do that. And that speaks to the culture. And also, like, I love your aspect of feeding your mind. Okay, what are you feeding your mind? How are you mentally stimulated to make sure that you know you're in the know, but also how to get that out to your team as well? That's really, really great to hear. So what today, tell us, how can we connect with you? Where can we find you? Where can we find Bow Digital?
Of course, you can find us at bowdigital.com. That's bowedigital.com. You can also find us, our most utilized social platform is definitely Instagram, and you can find us with @bowdigital. And then you can also connect with me personally @WayneStanley on Instagram as well. And I'm happy to chat on Instagram or LinkedIn any day.
Yes, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing. So we do love quote and inspiration over here at BMR as well. So which one did you get today? Who was your inspiration?
Oh, well, today I happen to use a dad joke for my team.
That's all right.
But one of my favorites is that enthusiasm is the most contagious emotion you can have. And I really believe that. And so especially when I'm trying to get the team through a hard time or to get buy-in, as we talked about, and that sort of thing, that whole idea of enthusiasm being contagious, as I've gotten older, I've realized that not everybody has that skill to help people along their path and to make something feel contagious to them. And if I can be enthusiastic while being authentic, I've seen great success with it, and I've tried to lean into that more. So that's one of my favorite quotes.
I love that. I love that. Nothing else needs to be said. Wayne, it was such a pleasure having you on. Thank you for taking the time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Perfect.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.